And welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Halloween night. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Right now, the celebration continues. We're going to be talking about the Giants as they capture their World Series title the third time in 5 years. What a performance. I am so excited to have joining us in studio, of course, tonight is our producer, the very talented Andy Pondillo, who has tapped into his dark side, and he is dressed up in costume. What are you, Dead Mouse? Is that true?
Yes, I'm the famous DJ. Dead Mouse, light up eyes. I got the suit on, so we're going in full costume doing Halloween right.
Alrighty, I won't tell all of our listeners tonight what I'm wearing, but Andy, I'm very anxious to get your thoughts on Madison Bumgarner. In my mind, I would believe that he is, what, the greatest World Series pitcher of all time? What a performance.
He's got to be the greatest World Series pitcher of all time at this point. Now, there have been pitchers that have made starts as good as Madison Bumgarner. One, two. But we're going through three different World Series championships. His ERA, I believe, under 0.26 in World Series play. Not to mention winning Game 7 with those five scoreless innings of relief. You will never see this again in the modern era of baseball. Bruce Bochy pulling out the Joker card out of his deck with this one, because I mean, this is something you just do not see in this era of baseball. He pitches a complete game shutout, comes right back out, and shuts down the Royals. Madison Bumgarner won this World Series. He had to be about 60% of the reason why the Giants won this World Series.
Did you know that he was capable of doing this? I mean, as you just said, I mean, he threw a complete game 3 days earlier, and as I was thinking, you know, hey, he's just going to come in, he's going to throw a few innings, but he finished it out.
I knew he was capable of being a very good pitcher. We've seen him mature in front of our eyes. Only 25 years old, but you think he's 35 years old with the maturity that he shows on the mound. 2010, he's the third, fourth guy in the rotation. He gets some outings, not a ton, but you see how dominant he could be in that playoff season. He come back in 2012. Now he's the number two guy under Matt Cain. Matt Cain, obviously dominant. Madison Bumgarner, a good complementary piece of the team. Now at 25 years old, Matt Cain hurt. Madison Bumgarner bumped up to the number one. It was just the maturity you saw out there. He's a good product of a great system with the Giants, how he's been able to work his way up to the top, become the guy. But you just cannot expect anybody on this planet to come out and throw five scoreless innings right after a shutout. It's just the law of averages. Eventually, you think that their stuff is not going to be as effective. It doesn't mean they're not going to be good, but you just do not expect a guy to come out and dominate like he did time in and time out.
Okay, he's only 25. If you had a lefty to pick, if it was Clayton Kershaw or Bumgarner, who would you pick?
I'm taking Bumgarner immediately, and it's no knock on Kershaw. I mean, we all want to tear him apart because of his postseason outings. There's no reason to say Kershaw doesn't figure it out. Roger Clemens had some tough, rough postseason outings as well. I believe his postseason ERA was in the fours, so it's not unheard of to see a guy struggle like that in postseason play. Right now, Kershaw's still got a lot to prove to me that he can be that big-game pitcher, and as young as he is, he will have more opportunities for the Dodgers to right his wrongs. But as of right now, I would rather lose five or six more regular season games if that's what it meant to have a better postseason pitcher, a Madison Bumgarner, a guy that's already a top four or five pitcher in Major League Baseball. You add the postseason accolades, I'm going to take a few extra losses in that regular season, because this guy is doing things in postseason baseball that we've never seen before.
Well, he's certainly a guy you can bank on. In your mind, based on what we have seen, Andy, are the Giants now, are they a dynasty?
You know, the dynasty word's thrown around a lot. A lot of people have different meanings for it. But basically, the meaning I've seen is you win several championships in a short year span. You know, we call the New England Patriots a dynasty for their three Super Bowls. You had to call the Yankees a dynasty, and they won them all in a row. You know, I think more people think about dynasty when you can do them in a row. However, 3 in 5 years, I got to say it is. It's one of the most impressive feats we've seen. And in the times that we see in baseball right now, so challenging to win it multiple seasons like that. There's so much parity. There's so many injuries with the pitchers. And the Giants being able to overcome key injuries this season, from Pagan to Matt Cain, and Bochy always finds a way to do it. You got to say it is. Three World Series championships in 5 years. It's just so hard to do in the modern game.
Well, we talked about this with legendary sports writer Bob Ryan earlier on our show about having sustained success. What do you think has been the key for the Giants? Because like you're saying, every other year they're having success.
The thing is, they always have somebody to step up. Marco Scudero goes out this year. They go through second base baseman after second baseman after second baseman, a gaping hole on the field. They figure out their problem with Joe Panik, who might have saved the World Series with an excellent play in Game 7 to start a double play, diving play down the middle of the field. So they find guys to fill these slots. Matt Cain goes down with an injury. Brian Sabian goes out, makes a trade. He gets Jake Peavy. Not as good in postseason play, but without Jake Peavy down the stretch for the Giants posting a 2.14 ERA, they're not going to get into postseason play to begin with. So Jake Peavy became a pivotal deal for the Giants to make it to postseason play and to have a chance to be in the driver's seat. So I think it's a lot of the moves they've made have really blossomed. You even go back to 2010, Aubrey Huff, a veteran they put in there. He bats third, bats fourth. He's able to deflect some of the attention to Buster Posey. Buster Posey, a young guy. He needs another guy in the middle of the order. Pablo Sandoval started to make his move in 2012. Where he becomes the big postseason game hitter. There's so many heroes for this team. You don't feel like one or two guys have to produce. If their bats go silent, if one guy gets lit up like Tim Hudson was going to in Game 7, you know there's always somebody behind them that can produce, and there's always somebody that they can bring in from the minors via trade. It's just they got this system, and I would compare it to the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA, that it's a part of the system. When you come into San Francisco, you know you're going to succeed, and what's even more bizarre is how it's every other year, but you know that they're going to fix their problems year in and year out.
Okay, so break down the series, because it certainly had, it was filled with a ton of drama in this playoff run.
It was filled with tons of resilience from both teams. We've seen both teams just go at it with each other. We've seen blowout games. You know, the Giants put up 11-4. You think they're going to take and run away with this series, and then they lose 11-0 from the Royals. You see Madison Bumgarner throw a shutout 5-0, and then you see James Shields hang right with him. James Shields get roughed up the whole postseason, comes back, and looks like the James Shields we know. We see the young Ventura for the Royals make a name for himself. You feel bad for him because he's overshadowed by Bumgarner, but let's not forget this kid throwing 100 miles per hour looks like one of the best young pitchers we've seen in the game in a while. So you see tons and tons of different elements, and then these teams finding ways to score. Two teams that don't hit home runs still able to find ways to create offense and at times look very dominant at the plate. I think it was a well-played series. There was very few mental mistakes. There were some games that got away from these teams. That's just pitching. That's just baseball. Sometimes you get blown out. That's why it's a 162-game season.
True.
That's why it's a 7-game series. It gives you a true victor, and I think it was very fitting that the last game was a pitching-oriented game, 3-2, a battle of the bullpens.
Okay, we're breaking it all down with Andy Pondillo right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, doing a recap. A full recap of the World Series. We will be right back, and much more at YSR. You stay close.